Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to GVN's Talking Comics Interview, your GVN home for what's happening in comics. On today's show, we welcome Mutt's creator and 8-time Harvey Award-winning cartoonist, Patrick McDonald. Now here's your host, Martin Sexton.
Welcome to another edition of GVN's Talking Comics Interview. I am your host, Martin, and on today's show, I have the pleasure of talking to cartoonist Patrick McDonald. Patrick is the creator of the long-running comic strip Mutts, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary in September. In conjunction with that, Patrick is releasing a new book about the story that captivated his readers, the freedom of his popular character, Guard Dog, in Breaking the Chain, The Guard Dog Story. So we're going to talk about Patrick's beginnings, his work on Mutts, and his new book. So let's welcome 8-time Harvey Award-winning cartoonist Patrick McDonald to GVN's Talking Comics. Thank you so much for sharing a bit of your day, Patrick.
Oh, thank you for having me, Martin.
All right, I appreciate it. Okay, so since this is the first time I've had an opportunity to talk to you, I want to touch a little bit about your creative beginnings. So when did you take an interest in art and maybe cartooning in particular, and whose work inspired the love that you have for that profession?
Well, let's see, you know, it goes way back. I fell in love with comics when I was a little kid. 5 years old, I was, loved Charles Schulz's Peanuts and wanted to be a cartoonist since that age. Then in my teen years, I discovered Crazy Cat. That was another major inspiration. I went to the School of Visual Arts in New York City. I took illustration and I started out as a magazine illustrator. But even in my magazine illustration, sometimes I would do like a 3-panel comic as the illustration. And eventually I took a break and said, it's time to try a real comic strip. And 30 years ago, I started Mutts.
Okay, now your first comic strip from what I saw was actually Bad Baby for Parents Magazine. During the time, I think that strip ran about 10 years. During that time, did you learn any technique or any kind of workflow thing that helped you as far as toward creating Mutts?
You know, what I did learn was, you know, that was for a monthly magazine. So 10 years of doing that equaled about 3 months worth of a daily comic strip. So I think what I learned was doing a daily comic strip is a crazy job. It gave me some chops for doing a daily comic strip. But when you do a daily comic strip, it's definitely a job you learn in front of the public as you do it. Even though I wanted to be a cartoonist my whole life, the actual physical demands of doing that every day was eye-opening.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Okay, so Mutts became syndicated through King Feature Syndicate in 94, as you mentioned. Did you have any frustrations as far as getting accepted into syndication? Because, I'm a big fan of Bill Watterson, and he got rejected a couple of times before he got Calvin and Hobbes going.
You know, I was really, really lucky. Mutz was the first strip that I proposed, and King Features accepted it. You know, it's funny, I got to meet the daughter of Chester Gould, the guy who invented Dick Tracy. And I went out to dinner with her and her family, and they wanted to hear my story of how I sold Mutz. And I told them, well, you know, I did a couple of weeks worth of strips, sent them to the syndicate, and King Features took it. They were flabbergasted, because I don't know if you know this, but Chester Gould tried out something like 106 different comic strips before he got Dick Tracy. So I was lucky. I got lucky on my first shot.
Okay, so like I said, you've been doing Mutz for almost 30 years. Actually, September 5th, I believe, will be the anniversary for Mutz. That's a long time. Did you ever run into like a dry spell as far as ideas, or you felt like you needed a break?
You know, I always say cartoonists aren't allowed to have, you're not allowed to not come up with ideas. Somehow you have to have a lot of faith. I usually go, when the weather's good, I go to a local park and just sit there and don't leave until I have at least 2 weeks worth of Mutz. And usually I get lucky. I feel like it's sort of like an athlete. You get the muscle for it. You get some kind of creative muscle that it's about letting go, just clearing your brain. And also it helps. I mean, sometimes you live with these characters long enough, they kind of write themselves.
Okay. So like I said, you started Mutz in 94, as I mentioned, with Earl and Mooch. How far into the strip did you decide to add Guard Dog, and what was kind of the thought process going in?
You know, it was about a year or so into the strip that I thought it would be interesting and kind of fun to have Earl and Mooch have like a villain character, you know, some character that would give them a hard time that they would have to, try to figure out how to deal with. So I thought of the usual, I was thinking a big Guard Dog would be the way to go. So in my sketchbook, I started drawing, you know, kind of generic tough dogs, you know, a big dog with like a heavy jaw and teeth protruding. And, you know, I drew him with a spiked collar to make him look meaner. And then I did a drawing with him with the spiked collar, and he had a chain. And boy, then as soon as I did that, I realized that, you know, this wasn't a villain. This was a tragic character, and started thinking about all the dogs that are chained in backyards or stores and stuff. So that's when Guard Dog really got that personality. And that's when I put him in the strip as more of a tragic character that Earl and Mooch would be. And, you know, I always thought at some point I'd free him, but, a lot of animal groups persuaded me to keep him on the chain because, you know, to help raise awareness about the poor chain dogs around the country. So that lasted a long time until finally last year I finally freed him.
Did you, when you first created Guard Dog, did you have any idea he would become so popular with fans?
You know, it really was touching. You know, people, was definitely moved by him. And then when I, you know, it took a while, but after a while I had the little girl Doozy jump his fence and befriend him. And that relationship became a big part of Mutz. And, and I did, over the years when I did have Guard Dog strips, I would get feedback from readers. You know, a lot of people were, please free him. And they couldn't take the sadness of it. But I always felt like he had a job to do. And geez, if one person reading the strip decided to bring their dog in, I thought, you know, it was worth it. But I think that's why, you know, when I finally did free him last year, it was real emotional for him. I was really taken with the response it got, that, you know, every day, you know, as the story developed, we had so many people emailing us on Instagram and Facebook, you know, really following the story, wanted to see how it would end.
I said, and it was so funny because I introduced the comic strip to my niece, who is a dog trainer by profession and loves dogs.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
And she was just devastated when the owner just left a guard dog in the backyard. She said, how could anybody do that? And of course, I think that's exactly the kind of reaction that he was hoping for from you. So it was excellent. Okay, so I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to tell our listeners why you chose the name of Sparky for guard dog after Doozy takes him in.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, he's been guard dog for my whole career. And I was thinking that I'll just keep that name because that's who he is. But then I was thinking that, you know, Doozy, the little girl who saved him, that she would want to give him, you know, some cute name. So I started playing around with some, you know, very endearing names like Cookie or, you know, Buttercup or whatever. But none of them seemed right. And I was just about to give up and just keep a guard dog when I thought of Sparky. And Sparky is the nickname of Charles Schulze. Anyone who knew him, he made you call him Sparky. I think actually when I first met him, I called him Mr. Sparky because. you know, the nicest thing about becoming a cartoonist is I did get to meet and become friends with my hero. And Charles Schulze was just the nicest guy. And when I thought of that name, I thought it was like a full circle thing. I mean, there would be no Mutts if it wasn't for Peanuts, and there wouldn't have been any guard dog if it wasn't for Charles Schulze. So I thought, you know, and Charles Schulze actually named Earl. I got to meet Charles Schulze before I did Mutts. I was doing the magazine illustrations, and I started, you know, doing some samples of the Mutts cartoon, and I sent them to him. And I was having trouble naming all the characters, to be honest. And I wasn't sure what to name the dog. And he said, why don't you name him after your own dog, Earl? And I thought he might know what he's talking about. So that's how Earl got his name. So it's kind of funny that Earl's named by Sparky, and then I named guard dog after Sparky.
Well, you can't do any worse than getting advice from Charles Schulze. So that's pretty good. I looked at the book, and I love the book. Mainly, as you had mentioned, the many insights of how the story with guard dog reverberated with readers and the love of their own pets. As you were making the book, was it important for you to make mention of some of those readers and how it affected them?
Yeah, you know, the book is not only the 7-week-long story colored by me for the first time. And there's some additions, but it also has like a 30-page biography of guard dog and his history. And I do with that talk about, I actually include some of the readers' emails and Instagram things where they talked about it. You know, in this day and age, a daily comic strip is a strange way to tell a story. I mean, people want instant gratification nowadays, but you know, the readers had to wait 24 hours for the next 3-panel installment over 7 weeks. And, you know, when I did it, I was a little concerned about, you know, because guard dog was abandoned in his backyard for a good 2 weeks. And I just was a little concerned that this could be tough on some readers. And it really was. And I kind of, you know, it's funny. We got people, you know, upset that I might, you know, kill guard dog. And I said, why would the readers think that I would do that to such, you know, beloved character for me? But then I realized, I think it had to do with Lynn Johnson. I think they were worried I was going to, actually someone wrote, you're not going to Farley him. I don't know if you remember, but in Lynn Johnson's For Better or Worse comic strip, the dog actually did pass away.
Yeah, I can see how that would upset people, but I can't even imagine. Okay, so I want to mention something. Like I said, I'm a fan of Bill Watterson, but he really had a problem with, you know, merchandising for Calvin and Hobbes. Did you have any problem with the idea of merchandising Mutts? I mean, pretty much you can get the kind of the characters on about just about anything these days.
You know, I don't, and mainly because I think it's part of the history of comic strips. You know, even way back with the Yellow Kid and Buster Brown, like comic strips and merchandise have always kind of gone together. I mean, kids would love the comics and then would want a doll or a toy with the characters. So, I'm not a big fan of commercialism, you know, at all. But I do think certain products are just part of the history of comics. And I guess for me, it goes back to being a little kid and buying all the Peanuts books and the Peanuts toys, the Peanuts dolls. So I feel like, I mean, I understand why Bill Watterson could feel that way, but I personally feel like toys and merch for comics is part of its history. Part of the joy of collecting and reading them is you have a little doll in your room. So I don't have that same feeling.
Right, and I tend to agree. And also, to me, far be it for me to question Bill Watterson, but I think that at least doing it, you know, well, you have some control of it, because right now he doesn't, you know, people are putting stuff out there with Calvin on there doing all kinds of things, but he has no control of it whatsoever, other than, I guess, if you want to take someone to court or over it. At least, you know, like doing it your way, you have a little control of where your characters go.
Yeah, and how they're going to look. And, again, I just think that's part of being a fan of your favorite comic, is you have a little thing to make it even more special. Yeah.
I said, I mean, that matter of sitting on top, of course you can't see it, but on top of my monitor, I got a little Marvin plastic thing, which I just think is cute. So, and I like to Marvin, so I still have him sitting on my monitor. Okay, well, I want to thank you for sharing some time with us, Patrick. But before I let you go, I got a question for you that you may or may not be able to answer. You have won just about every award imaginable for Mutts, as well as different humanitarian awards. What would you say is the award or the recognition that you're the most proud of? I mean, which one do you feel defines who you are and what you do?
That is a tough question.
Yep.
I'm very proud of the awards I've gotten from animal groups, you know, for raising awareness for animals. I won the Reuben in 1999, and that's the ultimate cartoonist award that, you know, has a long history of cartoonists that I admire. So, I always feel, that's a very special award to win. And it sits next to me at my drawing table. And inspires me. So I guess it's the Reuben Award.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I want to thank you again, Patrick, for sharing a little bit of your time. And congratulations on the release of Breaking the Chain, the Guard Dog Story, which I believe comes out September 3rd. By the way, I've already ordered my copy, mainly because I love signed copies. So so I already got that going. We will be following the book really closely and hope to catch up with you again real soon.
Thank you so much, Martin. It was a pleasure.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Uh-huh.
Thank you for listening to GVN Talking Comics. Please come back again. GVN Talking Comics is a production of Geek Vibes Nation.